Well, again, it's good to be here this morning. Let's get our Bibles out and go to the book of Jeremiah. Scripture the Lord just placed upon my heart this week. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. I want to read that again this morning. The harvest is past. Everybody said the harvest is past. There's going to be a day when we're not going to be able to harvest anymore. The summer is ended. Somebody say that with me. The summer is ended. Summer is ended. It's not going to come back again. It's over. And we are not saved. Amen. I want to preach a little bit this morning, minister from the Word of God. And it may not seem like a very exciting title that I'd like to put on it, but just one word, amen. And I just want to talk about excuses. Excuses. Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell them, excuses. Excuses. Amen. Let's pray and ask for the help of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We ask for strength, Lord. Oh God, touch us as we minister the Word this morning. Give us open hearts to receive the Word of God. Touch us today. Change us. Mold us. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed this snow. Amen. That's about half the congregation, but that's all right. Amen. I sure do enjoy looking out the window and seeing all the white snow. I just pastored in Marshfield, Wisconsin. It was the first church I've ever pastored. And we had some snow, and it's so cold up there that the snow never melted. And so for the whole winter, we got to see this white snow all around. It was really nice. Not going to happen that way here in Kansas. Thank God. Thank God. I said the same thing, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you'll just get me out of here, I'll never come back. Amen. Because it got down to 50 below without the wind chill, and with that 50 below, we had a blizzard. Now, that's what you call cold, cold. Amen. But the Lord let us get out of there. Praise God. Somebody smile just a little bit. Amen. Jesus addressed the subject of excuses. I looked up the word excuse or excuses in the Webster's Dictionary, and it means, among other things, I picked this one because it fits this morning. It means to free from an obligation or a duty, an excuse to release yourself from an obligation or a duty. The Lord, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 14, and I'm not going to talk about that exactly yet and read it yet, but the Lord gave us a parable here of a real life situation. It's about a marriage, and marriages are very important. It's a very, very important event. Everybody gets excited at a wedding time. And in Scripture, it represents the day of the coming of the Lord, when the church becomes the bride of Christ. And I believe that day is coming very, very soon. I think we need to have our lamps trimmed and burning brightly. Amen. Because he's going to come at midnight when we don't expect him. And much is said about the coming of the Lord, and with that, certain attitudes that come along with it, and that's what he was talking about here in this parable. And one attitude that I would expect would be there would be the privilege to be invited to this wedding. Amen. There are some things that are very important, and this one is very, very important. To some, there is nothing more exciting than to be a part of the bride of Christ. And while amazingly, there are attitudes that we find that others look at it with indifference and they make excuses. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16, "Then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that are bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse." Amen. I think this was a wedding. It was a great supper. If it wasn't a wedding, just ignore that part of it, all right? But they all began to make excuses. Everybody said excuses. Amen. The first one said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. That's a pretty lame excuse. Amen. I mean, who buys a piece of land without going and looking at it first? And it really didn't carry a whole lot of weight, but that was the excuse. He said, I pray thee, have me excused. Have me excused. I want to be free from any obligation or duty when it comes to you. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. Again, it's really a lame excuse, because who would buy a pair of oxen or a team of oxen without looking at them and without proving them, hooking them up and seeing how they pull and all of that? I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife. Now he's blaming it on his wife. And therefore I cannot come. Maybe she told him he couldn't come. And so he was already learning the ropes of marriage. Praise God. So therefore I cannot come. Amen. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Amen. To me, that's awesome. That is really amazing that the Lord is so interested in this great supper. Amen. This great day when the bride of Christ is going to come, and we are going to have a banquet in heaven for all of eternity. Amen. Amen. I'm so excited about that, because when I came to the Lord, I was poor. Amen. Amen. But today I'm rich. Amen. Amen. And the maimed and the halt and the blind. Amen. Go quickly to the streets and to the lanes of the city. In other words, anybody you can get a hold of, anyone that you see, invite them to come. You know, we're living in a society today that has status. We have the middle class, we have the upper middle class, we have the poor, and all of that. And there was certainly that very same thing in the time of Christ. And the poor are always those that are despised. Amen. I could go into that, but that's not really what we're talking about this morning. But in a sense, we are, because we have a duty this morning. And it's more than a duty. It is a opportunity. Praise God. It's not a duty to go to the great supper of our great God. It's an opportunity. Praise God. It is something that we should look at and say, it is a privilege to clean the church. It is a privilege to let my light shine in this world. It is a tremendous opportunity that the Lord has given to me who is not worthy, me who does not have anything to offer, but for some reason he called my name and said, come on, let's do some things together. Praise God. Praise God. It's not an obligation or a duty, but the excuses, the people that have excuses are those that look at it as an obligation or a duty. Amen. They look at it as something I have to do, but really down deep in my heart, I don't want to do it. Amen. It's an obligation. It's a duty. And the only way that we can get out of obligations and duties is through excuses. Amen. Well, praise God. And what we do for God, we must do it now, or we're going to miss the opportunity. There is a thing here about doing it today. Amen. Not waiting for a future date to do something for God. Amen. To be a part of this great supper that He's preparing. Amen. But many miss that opportunity. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. Matthew 25 and verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now I'll just stop right there before I read the next verse. But the man traveling into a far country, Jesus here is speaking about himself. He's talking about himself. He's talking about the ascension into heaven, where he's going to go to a far country. And in one other place in Scripture, it says that he was gone for a long time. And so he left, and he called his servants. First of all, it's an opportunity. It is a tremendous privilege to be a servant. Amen. It is a tremendous opportunity to serve the Lord, to be one of his servants. Whatever he would ask us to do, whatever his call, whatever his will is, amen. It is a tremendous honor and opportunity. Somebody said amen. Amen. It really is. And called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, if being a servant is exciting, the delivering unto them of his goods is mega exciting. Amen. Because he hasn't called us with empty hands. Amen. He hasn't called us to do his work without equipping us to do the work. Amen. And everybody here this morning that knows the Lord, you have everything you need to do the will of God. You've got everything. You're not lacking in anywhere or in any way. The only thing that would negate or erase the ability to do the will of God is something very powerful called an excuse. Amen. But he has given to us. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to every man according to his several ability. Straightway took his journey. He didn't give the man that had one talent, he didn't give him five talents because it was more than he could handle. He wouldn't be able to do that. He couldn't wrap his mind around that much responsibility. And so the Lord gave him one talent. He didn't overextend. I think there's a place in Scripture that says he will not place upon us more than we can bear. Amen. He does not call us to do things that we can't do. Amen. There is an understanding on God's part, amen, of you and I and our ability. Now, you go through this parable, and we've talked about it a lot of times. The man that had five, he went and bought and sold and traded. He saw those five as an opportunity to do something great for God. Amen. Doesn't tell us the age. It doesn't tell us the gender. It just says that he delivered to them his goods. And the man that had two, he bought and sold and made another two. And the man with one, he dug a hole in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And when the time came, well, praise God. when the time came and there was an account that was made of what they did with it, the man that had five had made 10, another five, and the man with two had four, and the man with one didn't have anything, couldn't show for anybody that he had reached with the truth, because the treasure that we have is the Word of God. And we are called to share the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. We are called to share the Word of God. And I believe in this. I live this. Amen. And yet there was one, the one that had one talent. He had the ability, because the Lord gave him that according to his ability. He had the resources, because the Master had given him the resources. He had everything. He didn't have anything that he lacked in, but he had excuses. Amen. Excuses of not enough time. Excuses of the lack of opportunity. Excuses of it's too hard and not really interested in it. Amen. I want to do it this way or that way. But I'm here to tell us this morning we cannot survive by having excuses. Amen. Amen. We've got to get ready and work now. Amen. And all he could say in so many words was, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. We missed our time of opportunity. We missed that opportunity to do something for God. Amen. And we have a lot of young couples here this morning and young people, and it seems like there is an abundance of time. And it's so easy to say, I'll do it tomorrow. It's so easy to say, in 3 months, there's going to be a harvest. It's so easy to come up with excuses why we can't do anything for the Lord. And time passes so quickly, and before you know it, you're standing there looking in the face of the Master and hearing him say, what did you do with what I gave you? And what do you have to show for all that I've done for you? Amen. And the scripture says that he was unprofitable. And because of this, he was not saved. But he was cast into outer darkness with weeping over the things that could have been. Think about that this morning. Weeping for eternity over the things that could have been. But the things that we do for God, we can't wait. I don't know about you, but I feel the Lord here this morning. Amen. I wished I could hoop and holler and jump and run. But I'll tell you, I am this morning on the inside, because this is a very, very important topic that we're looking at, message that we're listening to this morning. It is not the will of God. It is not the plan of God that he brings us into the kingdom to be unprofitable. Amen. Praise God. The church is not a place of pews for us just to sit on. Amen. It's not just a place for us to come and worship. And there are some that haven't figured that part of it out yet even. But we won't go into that this morning. But there comes a time and a place where we say, I'm getting up off of the pew and I'm going out into the streets and I'm going to go through the byways and the alleyways and I'm going to get the blind and the halt and the maimed. Amen. And it's amazing, isn't it, that the people that had the money and they could come and they had an association with the Master, those were the ones that had excuses. But the ones that didn't really have anything to offer, when the knock came on their door and they were invited, the whole family got excited. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about living for God. I'm excited about the call upon my life. And I have never, to my knowledge, looked at it being in the ministry as some sort of bad thing. That doesn't mean that everything has gone good all the time. Praise God. And in serving God, everything's not going to go exactly as you want it to go all the time. But there is something that we can lean on, and that is the call of God to serve Him, the call of God to do His will. Amen. Amen. Even before I had a call to the ministry, I got involved in bus ministry, the church that I got saved in. And in fact, we drove by there this week and kind of reminisced on some things. And we had Sunday school buses, and I was just a brand new convert, and nobody told me what I was supposed to do. My pastor was not big into that. He just said, "You go do this." Amen. You just go and do this. I had been in the church 3 months, and my pastor told the Sunday school superintendent, "I want you to grab him, and I want you to start him teaching in Sunday school." I'd never taught anything in my life. I didn't know anything about anything, and I really wasn't too sure about it. But after a while, it got a hold of me. Amen. And I would go out on Sunday morning, on Saturday morning, and knock doors for about 4 hours and invite kids to Sunday school and reach out to those that needed to hear the message of truth. And I remember one of the young boys and one of the young girls on the Sunday school bus, the boy in particular this morning, his name was Ronnie Zane. And my pastor, Brother Stanford, there was a service that this boy was in. In fact, we would go and pick some of the kids up and bring them to church on Sunday night. And he had these boys come up, and he pointed at Ronnie, and he said, "You come up here with these other boys." And my pastor very boldly said, "These men have a call upon their life." Amen. He didn't call me up there, praise God. But there was a call upon my life. And if you look at things of the kingdom of God and doing the work of God, amen, the work of God is to reach souls. Amen. I'm going to say that again. The work of God is to reach souls. And each and every one of us have that opportunity. I'm going to call it an opportunity today. Amen. Because the day is going to come when we are going to suffer great loss, or we are going to have great gain. I want to be on the great gain side of things. And the Lord is looking for increase. I brought that up. And that which gets involved, now hear this morning, that which gets involved will be given more, and those who make excuses will suffer great loss. Folks, we cannot afford to have excuses why we can't reach out to somebody and why we can't do the work of God and be involved. Amen. Those of you that clean the church, thank you for doing that. It always looks so nice in the church. You are a part of winning souls to God. Amen. I don't want someone coming in and saying, "Well, that place is dirty and it's unkept. I'm really not interested in it." It's all for the purpose of reaching a soul. Sunday school, it's all for the purpose of reaching a soul. Youth ministry, it's all for reaching the young people. Amen. Think about it this morning. The church is set up and designed by God to be an avenue of light to our world. Amen. And we don't have the luxury of making excuses. Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. I want to read verses 6 through 9. "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard." Now, if there's ever a parable in the scripture that makes me tremble, it would be this one here. Especially as a minister of the gospel, I have an opportunity and a responsibility. Yes, it is a responsibility, and sometimes it becomes difficult to infuse into people the importance of doing the will of God. This man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and so there were many other trees. He had a vineyard, and there's one particular tree he came and sought fruit on there, and he found none. Amen. I want to ask us here this morning, how many people have I won to God? How many people have I actually reached that are sitting on the pew this morning? Amen. Now, I know it's going to get quiet in here, but I have an obligation as pastor to preach the Word of God. And I feel like this is for us here this morning, and especially around the first of the year. And he said to the dresser of the vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years," everybody said 3 years. 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. And what was the response of the master, the owner of the vineyard, which is the kingdom of God? "Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground?" Cut it down. Now there are people that I have seen in my ministry that have been cut down that still sit on the pew. They have been cut down, and the Lord has cut them down because all they do is come to church. All they do is just sit, maybe worship once in a while, maybe come to the altar once in a while, but not really interested in serving, in backing up, getting a hold of the pastor's vision for the church, and they have been cut off. That's 3 years. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's taking up space. Now, I know that sounds kind of cruel, but that's what the scripture says here. "And he answering said unto him," thank the Lord for a dresser of the vineyard. Amen. That, I would say, is the ministry, and not just the ministry, but the mature saints of God in the church. Amen. I'm going to talk about that before the day is over. But he said 3 years, and that's a good amount of time. But how many of us here this morning thinks that 3 years is a long time? I didn't think so. It goes by so fast. Amen. Deontay and Melissa, how long have y'all been married? I shouldn't have asked him that. He hesitated. They're trying to figure out how long they've been married. 11 years. Just yesterday, I remember Melissa walking up the aisle and Deontay saying, "I do." And here they are this morning with two children and growing in the nurture of the Lord and being faithful to God. We're proud of you folks. Amen. Amen. 11 years, seems like it went by really fast, doesn't it? Well, I'll tell you what, it won't be very long and it'll be 30 years. You say, "Pastor, why are you talking like this here this morning?" Amen. Brother Tucker's here, and they were married for 54 years, is that right? 57, I'm sorry. There's the other 3 years right there. Praise God. 57 years, amen. A lot of water under the bridge, a lot of things that have happened. And before you know it, you're staring into the end where you stand before God. Folks, we're all going to stand before God. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter who you are or what you're doing. The pastor and everyone in the pew, amen. We're going to stand before God in one day, and it's going to go quickly. 3 years is a very, very short time period. Amen. And it seems like yesterday we came to Augusta to start a work. Amen. And I'm thankful for everything that we had to start with. but so sick I couldn't work for 6 months. We lived over in the Sunday school side of the church, and got busy doing a work for God. Amen. Some would make excuses and say, I'm too sick to work, and so I've just got to lay around. But I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just using this as an example. It doesn't matter what's against you. You have to look at what is for you. And if God be for us, amen, we ought to say that on a regular basis. God is for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter how young you are, that's just an excuse. It doesn't matter how old you are, that's just an excuse. It doesn't matter what your physical condition is, it's just an excuse this morning. And excuses are not going to fly with the Lord. Amen. Cut it down, and such words are a motivation for us, should be a motivation for us, to get up and do something for God. Amen. But in the fourth year, the tender of the vineyard, he said, no, Lord. He said, let's not cut it down. Let's let it go for another year, and let's dig around it, and let's get some fertilizer. And let's put it on there, and let's see if we can't help it along. And the scripture does not tell us what it happened. It doesn't say the end result of that action, but there was an attempt. Amen. And sometimes we have to go out of our way to reach out to people that are falling by the wayside. Those that don't see the opportunity, amen. We that are mature, that should be able to teach and should be able to win somebody to God and to motivate others, amen. Too often in our generation, all we are thinking about is ourselves. Well, I didn't expect everybody to jump up and run around the church and get all excited this morning. But I'm here to tell you, it does not matter what's against you. It makes all the difference in the world who is for you. Amen. Praise God. I'm too busy to come to church. Oh, the excuses abound. There's snow on the ground. I can't come to church. Well, praise God. The devil knows how to make it snow and rain. It's too hot. It's too cold. There's an old song, I listened to it yesterday, it's called Excuses, Excuses. You should look that up and listen to it. The preacher's too long-winded. Preacher isn't long enough. Amen. Somebody offended me. I've got this going on. I've got to change the oil in the car. I've got to mow the grass. I know these things don't apply to a lot of us here this morning, but excuses, if you're listening on the internet, excuses will destroy your spiritual man and you'll never, ever do anything for God. Folks, we don't have the opportunity to have excuses in our life. Amen. We just got to get up and look at living for God and working for God as an opportunity. Amen. I want to ask us this morning, and I know this is, it puts us all on the spot, and I feel bad about that, but at the same time, I don't feel bad about it because it's an opportunity. I want to ask us this morning, how many people are you reaching on a regular basis? Amen. How many people are you praying for? Amen. And calling on the phone and saying, hey, I've just been thinking about you. How's everything going? And you don't even have to talk about the Lord. But wait for the opportunity to minister to someone. When was the last time that you told somebody that you don't even know that God's been good to you in hopes that it will open a door and that it will be a seed that will be sown in their heart? I want to tell you, we can never do great things until we learn how to do small things. Well, praise God. We can never, ever be used of God in a great and a mighty way if we're not willing to do the little things that He asks of us. Amen. I want to ask us here this morning, how many are teaching a Bible study? How many are getting involved? Amen. Or are you spending your time reaching for excuses? Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, praise God. Smile just a little bit. It'll be all right. But somebody under the sound of my voice, I know the Lord gave me this for this morning, and someone under the sound of my voice needs to lay aside your excuses, and it's time to get busy for God. Amen. It's time to get involved in the harvest, because the harvest will be past, and the time of opportunity is going to be gone. And we're either going to rejoice and hear Him say, well done, faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord, or we're going to be saying for eternity, the harvest is past, the summer is gone, and we are not saved. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, I want to just go through this here this morning. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He said unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, everybody said straightway.
Straightway.
They straightway, there were no excuses. They straightway left their nets. They left their jobs. They left their income. They left any security that they had, and they followed Him. It might look like at the very beginning that you're going to lose by serving God. Well, it's going to take too much time. I've got other things I have to do. It's going to cost me too much in my finances. It's going to cost me too much in my involvement. But praise God this morning. I want you to know that there is something better coming. And these two men, Peter and Andrew, they had no idea. They could not even comprehend that at some point in time, the New Jerusalem is going to come down from God out of heaven. And in one of the foundations of the 12 foundations of that city was going to have their name written in it. They were just fishermen, and this was just a man walking along the seashore, but they did not look at it as something they had to do. They looked at it as something that it was an opportunity. Praise God. Matthew 19 and verse 16. I want to use enough scripture so that you know I'm preaching the truth here this morning. Matthew 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came unto Him, good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And He said unto him, why callest thou Me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I think the Lord said all these things because He knew this is what the young man was doing. If we would bring it into our modern vernacular, we could say that he was a good man. He didn't do anybody wrong. He was faithful to his church. He was faithful in supporting the work of God. And he had a lot of things going for him. And not only that, I believe that this young man was in a position of leadership. He had great possessions, the Bible says. He was just a very good, very blessed young man. And he came to the Lord and he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, he didn't really understand the answer he was going to get. And he said, all these things, all of these commandments I've kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said, if thou will be perfect. Praise God. If you're going to be perfect, if you're going to be mature, if you're going to be used of God, he said, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Amen. How many this morning wants to have treasure in heaven? I want to have treasure in heaven. I want to be laying up some things. And I believe this morning, and my pastor taught this to us, and I still believe it today, that the crown that we're going to have are the souls that we have won to God. Amen. They that winneth souls shall shine like the stars of heaven. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. We have a word from God. We have the possessions of God that he has given to us. We have a call from God to reach somebody with the truth. Amen. And he is a co-laborer with us. What an opportunity. I want to have treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven is not coming because we just attend church. Well, come on, somebody, help me this morning. You know I'm preaching the truth today. It's a whole lot more than cleaning the church. It's a whole lot more than playing an instrument. It's a whole lot more than teaching in Sunday school. It's a whole lot more than being involved in the youth group. Amen. There's a whole lot more to it. Amen. This young man, and I see some young men here this morning. This young man had the opportunity of a lifetime. And in fact, and this is just my personal belief, I don't use this as doctrine, I believe this young man, Jesus had him pointed out to be one of the 12 disciples. And the reason I believe that is because all of the 12 disciples, he spoke to them and said, come and follow me. Follow me. The others he didn't say that to, but he said that to the 12 disciples. This young man had an opportunity to get rid of all of his possessions, but to gain heaven. Praise God. Praise God. What a great trade. Amen. And it says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had excuses. That's what he had. It's just excuses. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you what, this is very serious stuff here. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And what do the rich do? They despise the poor. What do the rich do? They get involved in corrupt things. What do the rich do? They only think about earthly things. Just as the old saying goes, R4 and no more. Amen. Don't have a whole lot of room in their life for somebody else. But I'm telling you what, if we want to be used of God, amen, we've got to lay aside our excuses. Praise God. And you say, well, how could the Lord do that? Well, Scripture says he became poor so that we could become rich. That's God's way of operating. Amen. He became poor so that we could be rich. We're rich here this morning. We're rich. Even if you're sick this morning or you have physical problems, you are rich this morning to have a church to go to. Amen. To be involved in the work of God. Amen. And to come and hear the word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Paul talked about his ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. We then, as workers together with him. Somebody said, together with him. Together with him. Praise the Lord. And when we're working with him, When we're working with Him, He gives us grace. He helps us. He not only helps us, He shows us how to do it over the course of time. David said that the Lord taught his hands how to war. I tell you what, I don't think war is a good thing, but we're involved in a war, a spiritual war. And I would have loved to be able to go back to the Old Testament and watch David fight in a battle. Oh, it would have been like a combine. Amen. Going through the field of wheat and mowing down people. He had the ability in his hands. He could swing, he could cut, he could stab. And no one could beat him. He had the, I believe, his 30 great men that were under him. And they were not as good as him. And if you look at their exploits, you would have to say, wow, these were men of men. And David said, he teaches my hands how to war. You know what the Lord will teach you? If you will get involved, if you will pick up a sword, if you will actually walk out into the battlefield and look the enemy face to face, eyeball to eyeball, amen, and say, I come to you in the name of the Lord, I'll tell you what God will do. God will show you how to win souls. He will teach your hands to war. He will show you, but He will never show you until you get involved, until you actually get up from your seat of comfort, amen, and get busy and do something for God. Well, praise the Lord. We are workers together with Him. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, we can receive the grace of God in vain. It is possible for those that sit on pews, amen, to say at some point in time, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Amen. I'm trying to head that off here this morning. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now, everybody said now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Everybody said now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put off receiving the Holy Ghost. Don't put off being baptized in Jesus' name. If you do that, it just becomes an excuse for the rest of your life, and you will never do the will and the work of God. Amen. Behold now. Amen. He didn't say put it off. He didn't say make an excuse. But He said now. God is a God of now. It's time to get up and it's time to begin to work with God. Amen. Notice I said work with God. Amen. Read on. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Amen. So, if we're going to be a minister of God, we have to prove ourselves. There is a proving time. There is a proving time. And we have some that feel like they are called to the ministry. And my first thing is, start reading your Bible. You got to prove yourself. You've got to prove that you have a call upon your life. Amen. It's not just a matter of a job or a matter of a position. It is a matter of proving yourself. And proving takes time. Amen. Scripture says, lay hands on no man suddenly, because there is a proving time. Amen. A time of proving. And he said, here's how we prove ourselves as the ministers of God. Now, this is Paul, and if he had to do that, then the rest of us need to do that as well. Proving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. Everybody said patience. 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 Amen. Ministers, and I look at us here this morning, all of us, that have matured to the place that you are reaching out to others. I want you to know, in a sense of the word, I mean, you're not like the pastor in that respect, but you are a minister of sorts. You are ministering to people. You are reaching out to people. And when you do that, you've got to have much patience.
Yes, that's right.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to have to hurry, or I'm not going to have enough time this morning. You've got to have much patience. You can't be short with people. In afflictions, oh boy, this is exciting stuff here this morning. If you're going to be used of God, you have to understand what it means to go through affliction. If you don't, you'll never make it. You'll never do anything for God. In necessities, amen. Well, why would we have a necessity? Well, simply because I'm giving to others and I'm not giving it to myself. And so sometimes I fall short in the required necessities of life. Amen. In distresses, oh yes. If you get involved in reaching people, there are going to be times when you find yourself in distress. Amen. I remember a family that I was teaching a Bible study to in Plymouth, Massachusetts, the Korea family. They had about 30 kids. No, not quite 30. But when we went for Bible study, it seemed like there were 30 kids in the house. And it was chaos, and there was all kinds of distresses. And I remember I was at work, and my wife called me and said, Ruth called and said, Bible study's over with. And all of a sudden, my heart gripped me. She told her husband about the oneness of God. He said, we don't believe that, and you're not having that Bible study anymore. And in my distress, I found a place to go and get on my knees and pray. And I was distressed. I was upset. Well, I'll tell you what, folks are going to make you feel that way sometimes because they have not yet come to a place of commitment to God. And so he says in distresses, in stripes. Everybody said stripes. How many have suffered stripes here this morning? No, I'm sorry, you haven't. Where someone whipped you on your back, and maybe your wife did when you deserved it. Oh, Lord, help me this morning. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, we've never gone so far in our ministry to other people that we suffered stripes. In imprisonments, how many's ever been in prison because of your faith? Because of preaching the truth? No. Folks, we've got it really good. In tumults, Paul had riots wherever he went sometimes. In labors, everybody said labors. In labors. Oh, I'll tell you what. If you've got the true heart of a minister, when you come up to the church and you see the mat in front of the door and it's got some stuff on it, you go get a broom and sweep it off. And don't wait for somebody else to do it. I'm going to go the second mile. Praise God. Amen. If I see a piece of, and it seems like here at the church, I don't know if it's the way the wind blows or what it is, but there's always some sort of debris out in the front. And when I see a piece of debris, my first thought is, I've got to pick it up and throw it away because this is the house of God. In labors, oh, there's labors that are involved. And if you think just getting up to come to church is a labor, you're missing the whole point this morning. But there are labors. There are difficulties. This is how we prove ourselves to God. Amen. In watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, yes, there are those positive aspects. By long-suffering, everybody said long-suffering.
Long-suffering.
Amen. That means putting up with others for a long time. That's what it means. Praise God. And you folks have put up with me for a long time. in February would be 27 years. That's a long time for folks to put up with you.
Amen.
Amen. Especially somebody like me. Amen. But I'm thankful that you have long suffering. But you know what? Folks are not going to respond as quickly as you want them to respond.
Amen, brother.
People are not going to just, most of the time, are not going to automatically jump up and say, take me to the water and baptize me. We've got to be long-suffering, and we've got to show them the Word of God from this angle, from that angle, from this angle, from that angle. Amen. And this is how we prove ourselves. By kindness. Everybody said kindness.
Kindness.
Kindness. You'll never do anything for God unless you understand how to be kind to others.
Amen. That's right.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. By the Holy Ghost. Everybody said the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Ghost. We've got to have the Holy Ghost. You're never going to do anything for anybody without the Holy Ghost. Yes. By love unfeigned. Amen. A true soul winner is somebody that knows how to love those that they are ministering to. Praise God. Did you know the Lord loved the halt and the blind and the maimed? He loved them, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. By the Word of Truth, we have to know the Word of Truth. By the power of God, and that's where you know that you're in the will of God, because you see the power of God move when you're ministering to others. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. Oh, I'll tell you what, those are quite the swings, aren't they?
Amen.
Way up high and way down low. You say, well, I really don't want to be that way. I just want to live my life right here in the middle, R4 and no more, and that's all that's important to me, and those things are very important. But I want you to know, friend, that God has called us to do a work for Him and lay aside excuses.
Amen.
As deceivers, yet true. As unknown and yet well known. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I still feel the Lord here this morning. Can we stand together? Amen. God's looking for people that see this great wedding feast as the opportunity of a lifetime. And I'm so very thankful. I'm so very thankful that I had a pastor that taught me these things. And these are not outdated things. These are things that are still relevant to us. Amen. He taught me to live for God. He taught me that working for God was the highest calling that anybody could have in this world. And at 19 years old, I dove into the work of God, never ever thinking, never ever, the thought never entered into my mind that someday I would be pastoring. Amen. And I'm so excited today. Amen. That was 19 years old. Hours and hours each week doing the work of God, reaching out to people. Amen. Not feeling bad for myself, not feeling like, oh, it's time to get up and go do bus work and go knock doors for 3 or 4 hours. No, I looked forward to it. I looked forward to it. And here I am, 65 years old. I don't know how long that is. Be 66 in June. My body is wasting away, it seems like. I need the healing of God. Some of us can say amen to that.
Amen.
But I'm telling you what, there's going to be a day, probably not too far as God's timing is concerned, and I'll be standing before the Lord.
Amen.
And I read about it just the other day in the scripture. And the Bible says that God called Aaron to the top of the mountain. And God spoke to Moses and said, strip him of his priestly garments. Give those garments to his son. And Aaron was stripped of his priestly garments. He wasn't acknowledged as a preacher anymore. He wasn't acknowledged as anybody with a position, but he stood before God as a man. Just as a man. What did you do for me? And he had to, you know, there was a day of reckoning for him. Praise God. I'm glad. I'm so glad that God called me to work for him. And I've told the Lord in recent days, Lord, if you'll use me, I'm available. I'm available. Whatever you want me to do, I'm available. If you want me to teach Bible studies, I have a hard time teaching Bible studies because of my tremors. And it's very difficult. It's just very difficult. And you know what the Lord is wanting to do? I'm looking out here this morning. He's looking for somebody that will replace the pastor and say, I'll teach a Bible study. I'll do something for God. I'm not going to make excuses, because if you make excuses, you're going to be sitting on this pew at the age of 65 and you will say, the summer is past, the harvest is over, and I'm not saved. I can't show anything that I've done for God. Well, praise the Lord. Come on, somebody, let's pray together this morning. Come on and lift your voice this morning. We need to hear this. We need to consider this. We need to say, God, use me. Use me. Use me, Lord, to make a phone call to encourage somebody. Use me, Lord, to reach out to some hungry soul, the lame, the maimed, the halt, the blind, and invite them to come. I don't want to be that tree that is destined to be cut down for lack of production. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I thank you today. I thank you today. I thank you today. In Jesus' name this morning. Come on, let's lift our voices this morning. It's more than just words. We've got to let the Holy Ghost infuse this into our spirit today. There's a harvest. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. He's just looking for laborers to go into the field. The laborers are few, but the harvest is great. Let me be involved in the great harvest that you have. Come on, a little longer. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus this morning. Praise God.